Welcome to Redmond Radio and MCP Radio. I'm your host, Michael Domingo, editor of MCPMag.com. Today is March 12th, and here's what you'll hear in this week's episode. Vista exams get retested, a daylight saving time patch for Dynamics, and Quest becomes Microsoft's first EU code licensee. As well, another episode of IT Web Gems. That and more when we return to MCP Radio and Redmond Radio from this quick break. Welcome back, and thanks for listening to Redmond Radio. For new listeners who continue to write and wonder what this podcast is all about, here's a quick explanation. The podcast basically is a quick way to go about your day doing your work as a Microsoft IT professional, all the while keeping up with the news. Basically, we do the heavy lifting. One more thing, if you're a fan of Redmond Magazine, you as a Redmond Radio listener can have a chance to win a t-shirt and display your fanaticism. All you have to do is send me an email at michaeld@mcpmag.com. That's M-I-C-H-A-E-L-D at mcpmag.com with Redmond t-shirt on the subject line of your message. Each week I compile those emails and ask someone to give me a number between one and whatever number of emails I receive, and the lucky recipient whose name coincides with the random choice gets the t-shirt. I'll announce the winner in the IT Web Gems segment of this podcast. And before we head into the news, one more piece of housekeeping. If you're still not downloading this show automatically, it's easy if you're using RSS or iTunes. Since many of you do use iTunes, if you've never used the podcast download feature, just click on Advanced Subscribe to Podcast in the main iTunes menu to open up our URL window. There, you enter mcpmag.com/rss/podcasts, and you'll be set up instantly. It's probably fairly similar in other products like Juice Receiver from SourceForge.net. I use a Creative Zen, and it's also very similar there, but you must set it up in the Zencast software. If you don't want to use any other software, but you are using IE7, all you have to do is go to the mcpmag.com homepage, click on the RSS link in the top menu bar, and you'll see the MCP Mag podcast page with the last dozen or so shows. As well, you can click on the Subscribe to Feeds button to keep you updated. So with the housekeeping out of the way, let's get on with the show. I do have one certification news item in this segment having to do with the Vista exams. Beginning this week, Microsoft plans to retest two Vista exams, 7621 and 7622, that were originally beta tested in January and February this year. According to an email notification sent to beta candidates of those exams, Microsoft errantly left out coverage of some topics that were listed on its exam objective guide. In particular, the new betas will add coverage on supporting and troubleshooting applications, including 2007 Microsoft Office system on Windows Vista. Those who took the first beta will be offered a free exam voucher that can be applied to any of the Vista exams. And that's cert news. How about we check the newswire? It's a mixed bag, so we'll start with a security story. Sweden's government presented a plan to allow a defense intelligence agency to monitor without a court order email traffic and phone calls crossing the nation's borders. The government insists only a fraction of the electronic communications will be affected, but critics worry the program, designed to combat terrorism and other threats to national security, is too far-reaching. The Swedish proposal needs parliamentary approval and, if passed, would allow the National Defense Radio Establishment to use data mining software to search for sensitive keywords in all phone and email communication. Today, such traffic can only be monitored with court approval if police suspect a crime, although the agency is already free to spy on airborne signals such as radio and satellite traffic. Walmart has fired a systems technician for recording phone conversations between the company's PR office and a newspaper reporter, and for intercepting text messages without authorization. The move is the result of an internal investigation that began on January 11th, when someone expressed concerns about the matter to Walmart officials. It did not identify the technician. Walmart's internal investigation initially found that the technician had monitored and recorded phone conversations between Walmart's public relations staffers and a reporter from the New York Times. The company says that interception of text messages and pages that do not involve Walmart associates is not authorized by company policies under any circumstances. An update to Apple iTunes still hasn't resolved some of the compatibility problems with Windows Vista. iTunes 7.1, the new version, comes a month after Apple warned PC users against installing Vista until Apple could fix the problems. Even so, Apple warned iTunes 7.1 users that their iPods may still exhibit difficulties synchronizing to contacts on a Windows Vista PC. The text and graphics of iTunes running on a Vista machine also may not be correctly displayed, although resizing the iTunes screen should correct the issue. And finally, a new study that estimates how much digital information the world is generating finds that for the first time, there's not enough storage space to hold it all. The report from research firm IDC sought to account for all the photos, videos, emails, web pages, instant messages, phone calls, and other digital content zipping around and assumed that on average, each digital file gets replicated 3 times. Add it all up and IDC determined that the world generated 161 billion gigabytes or 161 exabytes of digital information last year. The previous best estimate came from researchers at the University of California, Berkeley, who told the globe's information production at 5 exabytes in 2003. IDC estimates that the world has 185 exabytes of storage available last year and will have 601 exabytes in 2010. But the amount of stuff generated is expected to jump from 161 exabytes last year to 988 exabytes, closing in on 1 zettabyte in 2010. And that's the news. Be sure to check out mcpmag.com daily for news as it happens. And we'll have more news from Redmond Magazine later in this podcast. Up next, your favorite segment and mine, IT Web Gems, after this quick break, here on Redmond Radio. Welcome back, and thanks for listening to Redmond Radio. And as usual, before we get started with this segment, I'd like to once again remind you that you have a chance to win a Redmond t-shirt in my weekly giveaway. All you have to do is enter the random drawing by sending me an email at michaeld@mcpmag.com. That's M-I-C-H-A-E-L-D @mcpmag.com. And tell me whether you're a new or regular listener of Redmond Radio. Any additional comments or feedback will be appreciated, but isn't necessary to make you a winner. So, without further ado, this week's winner is Chris Birdsong. Thanks for listening, Chris, and congratulations. Coming up in our last segment, a Patch Tuesday non-story. But as usual, we tell you about the strange, the unusual, the extraordinary. Yes, it's IT Web Gems. And listen to this. I just found out about her Aquinas midsection, a type by throne discordant, that organized as our monastery close to Abel, bellicose of count, too rancorous, go, slovenly orphanage, tetravent apology, and always on time, God save the queen. So did IT Web Gems become deaf poetry all of a sudden? Not really. It's a poem called The English Make the Best Lovers, one of many that you can read on the spampoetry.com website. An article in the Chicago Sun-Times highlights the efforts of Northwestern University grad student Kristen Thomas, who creates the poems from spam that's been taking up space in her inbox. It's one of those aha moments when someone says something you probably meant to do with something useless and turn it into something useful, kind of like spam haiku. Check out Kristen's work over at spam-poetry.com. Here in IT Web Gems, we've told you about people getting fired by email, people saving text messages from beyond the grave, and lovers breaking up electronically. How about getting thrown out of a country by text message? The UK has its burgeoning immigrant population to deal with, and some illegals in the country, so the government plans to send text alerts to those who overstay their visas. It's just one on a list of several action items, including stopping housing and healthcare benefits, that were recently proposed by UK Home Secretary John Reid, in order to make life unbearable for illegal immigrants there. We go international again in this, our second piece, to the other side of the world, where computers hum in the Philippines, as that country tries to encroach on India's loosening hold on offshore services. Yahoo News has a story from Rosemary Francisco that shows the Philippines trying to expand its outsourcing efforts. Last year, the island nation earned $3.6 billion, which was a 50% jump from the year before in outsourcing dollars, but it still trails India's $6.2 billion in outsourcing revenue. Even with costs going up in the Philippines, There's still the advantage that the English is a second language for many there, which allows the Philippines to compete strongly against other countries for voice-based services serving English-speaking companies. Now, in the past, we've told you that flash memory being all the rage with computer manufacturers, with some looking to flash as the bootable drive. Always the innovator, Apple may begin selling notebooks by year's end that do just that, boot up from a flash drive or from flash memory. It might be one of the things that allow Apple to take a bite into the Wintel slice. Not that it needs any help. A story over at roughlydrafted.com lists the net income of Apple, HP, and Dell in the last quarter of 2006. HP and Dell combined for about $2.1 billion, with Apple just over $1 billion all on its own. Even though the Wintel monopoly claims 95% of the CPU market, Apple manages to do well with the other 5%, thank you very much. And in our last IT web gem, the Wintel monopoly might be slowly eroding yet again, with Dell beginning to offer versions of the Linux OS on its PCs. That according to a big post over at Dell's IdeaStorm customer service blog. A bunch of Linux lunatics have been asking other Linux loonies to post messages to IdeaStorm to get the company to begin making the open source OS available. As if Dell doesn't have enough problems, now they want to make the company's customer service call centers to ring nonstop with support calls. And with that, we conclude this IT WebGem segment. If you have any suggestions for an IT WebGem, send them to me at michaeld@mcpmag.com. That's michaeld@mcpmag.com. And I'll send you a Redmond t-shirt if I use it in the next podcast. We'll be back with the Microsoft headlines of the week from Redmond Magazine after this quick break here on Redmond Radio. Thanks for listening to Redmond Radio, and welcome to the last segment. A few notes before we start. Be sure to check out the newly posted March 2007 issue of Redmond Magazine, which has a compelling story on Microsoft's work in the open source community and why it might matter to you now. Over at Redmond Channel Partner this month, how to tap into the Microsoft Dynamics and CRM pipeline. As well, don't forget to check out the February issue of Redmond Developer News with a terrific cover story by Kathleen Richards on the Windows Presentation Foundation. Now, here's what made headlines this week over at Redmond Magazine. First up, speech coding technology used in several Microsoft applications does not infringe on an Alcatel-Lucent SA patent, a federal judge decided last Thursday. The summary judgment from a U.S. District Court judge in San Diego dismissed Alcatel-Lucent's claims that Microsoft's Windows Media Player, NetMeeting, and Messenger programs call on its patented speech pattern analysis technology. The case was set to be heard later this month. Alcatel-Lucent said it plans to appeal the decision. Judge Rudy M. Brewster's decision followed last week's jury ruling in the same court that Microsoft's music player software did infringe on two Alcatel-Lucent patents relating to encoding and decoding audio into the digital MP3 format. The jury ordered Microsoft to pay $1.5 billion in damages, which Microsoft is appealing. Even as it faces a new round of fines over in the EU, Microsoft had signed up its first licensee for a scheme EU regulators told it to set up 3 years ago to share code that helps servers work with Windows. Microsoft said signing up Quest Software was an important part of its efforts to comply with the regulators' demands. The company is still talking to other potential licensees, it said. The license gives Quest access to communications protocols used by Windows Workgroup servers. The European Commission threatened the software giant with new daily fines of $4 million last week, for not obeying its March 2004 antitrust order, claiming Microsoft was overcharging rivals for complete and accurate documentation. Just in time, Microsoft last week shipped a patch for its Dynamics CRM 3.0 package that adjusts for the daylight saving time that just occurred last weekend. The Dynamics CRM 3.0 time zone data updates and update time zones wizard includes updates for Dynamics CRM 3.0 service provider edition, as well as updates and the wizard required for installing updated time zone definitions and adjusting dates and times in Dynamics CRM 3.0 records that are affected by changes in time zone definitions. Microsoft's FRX software subsidiary will ship a significant update to its budgeting and planning tool for organizations this spring. FRX software offers a suite of financial analytics and reporting tools for small and mid-sized businesses, as well as for emerging enterprises. The products are part of Microsoft's Business Solutions Group, which develops and markets the Dynamics brand of business and financial products. Dubbed Microsoft Forecaster, the suite provides budgeting and planning tools for mid-market companies. Version 7.0 adds a new user interface, along with support for Windows Vista and Office 2007. Forecaster 7.0 is scheduled to be released to manufacturing on March 28th, with general availability set for early April. Just 2 weeks after shipping a major new service pack for SQL Server 2005, Microsoft is issuing a hotfix to correct a problem some customers experienced with the update. Microsoft first shipped Service Pack 2 on February 19th. The main purpose of SP2 is to provide support for Windows Vista and Office 2007. As well, SP2 provides support for data compression, additional business intelligence capabilities, and security updates relating to common criteria. Microsoft has also shipped the Visual Studio 2005 Service Pack 1 update for Windows Vista. The update primarily fixes known issues with Visual Studio 2005 SP1 for Vista. Microsoft said it will release later this month the public beta versions of Office Communications Server 2007, the company's VoIP and Unified Communications Server, and Office Communicator 2007, the communications client. The announcement was made at a conference by the president of Microsoft's business division, Jeff Rakes. He said the two communications products will begin rolling out to millions of testers later this month. And following last month's behemoth security patch, Microsoft says it will not release a patch this month. There are several known problems, including some unfixed Word exploits. However, Microsoft does plan to release updates to its update services software offerings. And finally, the executive who led Microsoft Web Search Division is leaving his post to start his own business, according to Microsoft sources. Christopher Payne is the corporate vice president in charge of Windows Live Search, formerly MSN Search, an effort the company launched after its search partner, Ink2Me, was acquired by web portal business Yahoo in 2003. And that's what made headlines for the week of March 12th here on Redmond Radio. Be sure to visit redmondmag.com daily for Microsoft news as it happens. As well, continue to send me email if you'd like to be entered into the Redmond t-shirt drawing. You can send those emails to michaeld@mcpmag.com. That's michaeld@mcpmag.com, which is also the address to send me feedback on this show and its contents. I'm Michael Domingo. I'd like to say thanks for taking the time to listen to Redmond Radio, and see you here next week.